The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host, John DePietro.
All right, here we go. 106 on this Monday. Good afternoon, one and all. Here I am. It's Juan. This is John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. This portion of the program is brought to you by our friends at The Lodge Pub and Eatery. Dave and Donna, what a great job they do. The Lodge, located 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Stop into The Lodge for lunch or dinner. Full bar, large dining area. Hey, the Patriots game will be on tonight, Monday Night Football. Whether it's lunch or dinner, enjoy the unique rustic setting. There's something delicious food and a meal. Every meal is a feast. Every day is a holiday. The Lodge Pub and Eatery, located 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Again, should be a nice crowd in there for the Patriots game tonight. Again, good afternoon on this Monday. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. You can follow me on both Facebook and Twitter at John DePietro Show. Make sure you visit DePietro.com, DePetro.com, the official website of You Know Who. I have posted. Now, folks, I think it's funny. Put a lot of work into it. So far, people seem to like it. You can see it and then share it with people on Facebook. Especially, I put it out on both Facebook and Twitter. But it is, 'twas the night before Christmas in Rhode Island. And people love. There it is at DePietro.com. I'm holding it up to the crowd watching on Facebook Live, which is brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. And people love the GIF of, you can see Queen of Tolmundo in the role of the Grinch. So I may read that. I'll read that at some point. 'Twas the night before Christmas in the Ocean State, no food for the poor. You hip was late. Although Santa was known as a jolly old soul, he hated the thought of the Rhode Island sleigh tolls. State House was very busy this Christmas Eve. Sex for legislation is their pet peeve. All right, maybe I'll read that to a little music a little bit later. But again, check it out at DePietro.com, and you can always email me, John, at DePietro.com. Well, it is a political Monday. Folks, joining us as he does every Monday at this time, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's our friend Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, and happy Monday.
Oh, yeah, and welcome to the Christmas in Rhode Island season.
That's right. Justin, I want to start off and get your thoughts. It was last week when Joe Trillo made the announcement that not only was running for governor, but he was running independent. Since then, I had him on. I believe I spoke to you the day that I did have him on. It was very striking that he immediately has gone after Cranston Mayor Alan Fung. He's also made some various claims. He's done some interviews. He has said that he didn't feel he was being treated fairly by the party. He has taken some jabs at Governor Raimondo, but I know that Patricia Morgan was on Newsmakers over the weekend, and she said she felt that she's been treated fairly by the Republican Party and didn't see or feel a need to jump into a primary. He also did that interview on 10 News Conference where he said everyone running is a pansy, with the exception of him, and Rhode Island needs a fighter. I am somewhat confused, and I disagree with a lot of the political speculation that has come out where they're comparing him to Link Chafee and what Trillo's going to need to get to 50% and everything else. But I'd really like to hear your thoughts as we've had a few days to kind of digest it. The Trillo is, I know people are saying, you know, well, there's only one Donald Trump. He's certainly following the Trump playbook of trying to get as much free publicity as he can. And one of the things why Trump, when he was running for president of the Republican primary, why he would get so much attention was the rallies and everything else, was just because he would, you know, throw some haymakers and you never knew what he was going to say. And so the media likes that type of thing. You know, you can kind of go through the motions. Nothing against Patricia Morgan, but she gave, you know, a good interview with Newsmakers. But then it was really, you know, Trillo saying on 10 News Conference of, you know, everyone else is a pansy. and I'm a Fighter that got a lot of headlines. But I'd like to hear your thoughts on the Trillo entry into the race.
Well, I think the key with the comparison with President Trump's campaign is to understand that getting headlines is great, but you have to and getting them in a bad way, or not a bad way, but a way that makes people a little bit uncomfortable, like name calling. It can, that has a negative, but it has to balance against some positive message or something that you're trying to deliver. And in President Trump's case, there were a few things, probably most notably with immigration, where he was willing to say things that other candidates weren't necessarily willing to say, would at best hint around. Maybe they didn't even believe in reform of immigration. And some of them who said they did, you kind of didn't believe them after all of their history in the Senate or wherever. So President Trump would come out and say these things that would get him a lot of attention, and the media would think the story was Trump's being a bully and a mean, bad guy who isn't fit to be president, but people were hearing the message on, for example, immigration. And that's the piece I haven't seen yet from Joe Trillo, is what's the underlying message? What's the thing you're trying to sell to Rhode Island voters, an actual policy, an actual set of policies that you're trying to get attention for? Otherwise, you're just screaming for attention, and that wears thin really, really quickly, because I don't think people actually want like WWE wrestling in their politics, unless that's what's delivering what they want from government, unless there's something underlying. And I think that's the big difference. I mean, with President Trump, we're seeing right now the hoopla about the end of the world in the Middle East because he said we're going to acknowledge that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. That was a promise he made. It's a promise other candidates have made and have never delivered on. That's what, in some sense, excuses and justifies his attention-grabbing strategy, because he's trying to get attention to the policies that he's apparently sincere about implementing. And that's what I think ultimately got him over the top on votes.
Not only that, Justin, you raised some very good points. You know, Donald Trump was known, and he was known with The Apprentice, the successful businessman. He did seminars all over the world. He was known as the billionaire businessman. And he came out with, you know, some really brilliant concepts for the campaign. Notably, you can't get away from, you know, the Make America Great Again, which the hats, the merchandise, everything took off. It was a very simple phrase, an unbelievable marketing strategy. He started with the Build the Wall, and then he started doing those rallies that people would go to. It was a different feel. You know, it was very apparent during New Hampshire, where Trump's having these raucous rallies and Jeb Bush is trying to get people and telling them to clap and to hi-fi. Joe Trillo is not known the way Donald Trump is. So to just come out of the box and, you know, everybody's a pansy, everybody's afraid, and you can't win, and da-da-da, that if the first impression is someone that you don't even know, and they're angry and throwing punches, I'm not convinced that that gets you to the finish line.
Oh, well, certainly. And not only is he not particularly well-known, I mean, you pointed out when we spoke last week that he did at some point have a TV show. There's some level of recognition, I guess. But he's not known as, say, a big entrepreneurial type. He hasn't. That's not why he's in the public light. He's in the public light for legislative office that he doesn't even hold anymore. And from a voter's perspective, whether he decided not to run or got booted out and couldn't win a race is almost immaterial. It's I'm the only one who can win has to have some substance. Now, we may differ some on the president, that I think a lot of the Trump as uber businessman was marketing more than actual expertise. But he was known for business, and he had some success for that. And he did have policies that he was putting out there that were the attraction to build the wall. Also, you know, the Make America Great Again worked in part, mostly in cooperation with what that meant. He didn't just come out and say it with no, it wasn't just a catchphrase. It meant, you know, hardening the security at the border. It meant reining in some of the trade deficits. That sort of thing. That was a Making America Great event again. So he didn't just have the phrase, he defined it, and merchandise reinforced what he had defined. So he was a known quantity with at least known for being known for success, and he had some policies that a populist base liked, and he got attention for those policies. And as you mentioned, his rallies were another thing. They were entertainment. Mark Stein, who's a great humorous conservative columnist, went to one in New Hampshire and observed that it was fun and there was energy, and he hadn't seen or felt that in a political rally in a long, long time. So, I mean, it was sort of a cocktail that allowed the president to do what he did. And just picking one piece of that, the I'm going to go punch people in the nose rhetorically, picking that out and thinking that's going to be a successful campaign is not the way to go, I don't think, especially in Rhode Island, which tends to have a bit more of a, you know, New England in general has a more reserved Republican base.
Not only that, as someone that I've appeared on the Trillo Talks TV show at least once or twice, anyone that watched that, you know, Joe Trillo was very deferential. He was reserved. He was polite. I mean, he wasn't this, you know, everybody get up to the window. I'm mad as hell and I can't take it anymore. You know, Howard Beale, he was very reasonable. He knew politics. He had a good way about him. I just this new almost persona that he's kind of unveiled, I don't think that matches. Again, I come back to how many people actually know him. But Justin, I also, and again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing our OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, this whole business that even, you know, the media is saying, well, you know, Chafee won with 36% as an independent. As I mentioned earlier, Chafee, when he announced he was running, he had been a U.S. senator. The Chafee name is obviously well known. He had won statewide in that 2000 race. When first he beat Bob Wagon, he beat Richard Leach, excuse me, Chafee in 2000. Wait a minute, he beat it was Leach and then Wagon, and then Chafee was the Republican. He beat Bob Wagon. That's right, Chafee was the Republican, beat him statewide in that general election. It was 2006. He lost to Sheldon Whitehouse, but in 2010, when Chafee announced, he was always right around 36, 38%. He never got to 40%, but he never went below 30%. But he was always right around there. Justin, there's no way that right now Trillo is opening with like 35 points. I don't think he's opening with 20 points. And the one poll we have in a Republican primary is at 10. So I just don't understand these members of the media saying, well, you know, Chafee won with 36 points. That's a long way to go for a complete unknown.
Well, sometimes you think the media commentators are trying to make it exciting for people by making it seem closer than it is.
You're right. Almost like when there's a blowout football game, they're trying to convince you that, you know, the Titans still have a chance to come back and tie this thing up, even though they're down 24
or
points.
This small cloud that's coming in from Canada is going to dump 10 feet of snow, and you better go out and get your milk and butter or bread. I don't understand a lot of that kind of commentary.
I mean, Bob Healey ran for governor several times, and, you know, people did know Bob Healey. You know, Charlie Bax of the famous line, he's a haircut and a shave away from being governor. But, you know, Healey had been around for a lot of people. It just, to me, it's not a fair comparison. And Justin, as I look at the numbers, I just want to give you the numbers. In 2014, Gina Raimondo, 40% of the vote, 131,000 votes. Cranston Mayor Alan Fung, the Republican, 117,000 votes, 36%. And Bob Healey, 21% of the vote and 69,000 votes. This whole argument of, well, you know, Trillo has to do this because a Republican can't win, and you're going to try to need some Democrats and you're going to need some independents. Well, it's not like Fung got blown out, you know, 40 to 15. I mean, again, that you're talking about 14,000 votes that he lost by, and Healey grabbed 69 and 21% of the vote. That's a very close election.
Oh yeah, and I wonder if some of the commentary from the media is just not understanding, in large part, the Trump voting base. They just don't know. They think maybe they will be attracted by this, just a firebrand talking smack, you know, against the other candidates. Maybe they're a big puzzle. Who knows what they're going to vote for? But you need some kind of you need some kind of support. I mean, as you say, the cool moose thing was around for a long, long time, almost like a big blue bug kind of thing in Rhode Island. And if you look at Chafee, part of it was everybody, he could take from the Democrats because in some sense a lot of them knew that he was one of them and agreed with them, especially when it came around to George W. Bush as president in that era. So that was a clear cut of the electorate, which, just there's no case for that. And I think that's really where you have to start. Just like the candidate should start with policies, the news media in analyzing the race ought to start with the actual electorate and what their interests are and the kind of candidates they will support. And then if Trillo fits that profile, then, you know, estimate that he could come up with the 30-something votes. But just showing up, insulting a few people and saying, I'm here, I'm an alternative, that doesn't necessarily buy anything. And you can look at any number, and you could probably go through most, certainly national races in Rhode Island, and find very regularly third and fourth names on the ballot that just nobody even knew about. They got, you know, a few hundred or even a few thousand votes, but were essentially inconsequential. And that's another comparison. The fact that the media knows who he is doesn't put Joe Trillo in that category of he could come up with 30-something percent of the vote.
That is exactly right. And, you know, it's interesting you said that. I'm looking at Kate Fletcher. She ran as an independent. She got 416 votes, 1% of the vote. Leon Kiarian, he got 188 votes, 0.5%. Write-in was 0.3%. So there is an element of that. Now, in Providence, though, Justin, you know, Gina Raimondo got 24,000 votes, 65% of the vote. Alan Fung got 8,400 votes, 22%. Bob Healy, 4,000 votes. If Fung picked up 4,000 votes in Providence and puts him at 12,000, you know, if you're Fung and you're, or Patricia Morgan, and you're trying to close that gap of, like, where do you come up with 13,000 votes, not having Healy in the race, you know, truly could make a big difference. Healy got almost 8,000 votes in Warwick, and he won't be around this time, where Fung beat Raimondo in Warwick. In Cranston, Fung got 14,000 votes. Raimondo got 8,000 votes. Healy got 3,700 votes in Cranston. Again, those would then be in play. Pawtucket, Raimondo got 51% of the vote, 7,000 votes. Fung got 3,000 votes. Healy got 3,300 votes. Healy got 3,000 votes in Pawtucket, Justin. So, you know, you can see where Raimondo tapped out, not able to go any higher, in a very, what I really take exception to is members of the media and even, you know, Joe Trillo to say a Republican can't win in Rhode Island. To me, when you look at Robitaille lost by 3 points to Chafee, Fung lost 4 points to Governor Raimondo, and both of those, you know, Ken Block got 6% of the vote in 2010. You have the Healy got 21% of the vote. Justin, what really to me wipes out that whole argument is, number one, that, like, Trump people, they just go with Trillo even though he's left the Republican Party. I talked to a bunch of Trump people over the weekend. That is not the case. And number two, the argument to me that completely undercuts this is the fact that Charlie Baker, next door in Massachusetts, is the Republican governor, and he's got a 70% approval rating. He's the most popular governor in the United States. Don't tell me, like, if you just broke out the Republican numbers, he's obviously getting support, Justin, from Democrats and independents. So don't tell me, well, when you look at the number of Republican voters, Trillo had to do this to win. But tell that to Charlie Baker.
Right, or look at every national, especially presidential election season, and all the stories you hear about, oh, the Democrat Party is never coming back, the Republican Party is never coming back, it's over for them, and then they win the next time around. We've had, what, two Democrat governors, each with so far a single term since the last Republican, and who followed a Republican, so certainly, especially in the single office of governor's race, Republicans can have a chance. And another thing to remember, though, about the comparison of Fung's last race and Bob Healy is that Fung and Ken Block had a pretty vicious primary that really, for reasons I still don't fully understand, created huge divisions among at least people who really are involved and pay attention in
good point.
In
you're right. Yes.
Politics here. So it would, for that to be parallel, what would have to happen is they, I would say Morgan and Fung would have to have a similarly bloody and terrible fight, which I tend to doubt, at least. I don't see either of them looking for that at this point. I think Fung might have learned a lesson about it. And that would have to happen, and then Trilla would have to be the angry vote to capture the people who are angry at Fung's actions against Morgan in the primary, and for that to be parallel. And it just doesn't look as likely to me this time around.
I'm going to, Justin, hold on just a moment. When we come back, folks, I want to ask Justin Katz what he thinks of, right now, Mayor Fung is basically ignoring Joe Trillo. If Justin thinks that that's a good idea, or he should, you know, you try to end it right now, and meaning attack him and just cast him off and try to, you know, put a stake through him before we even hit the new year. And we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask Justin about that. But folks, I want to once again remind you that those looking to get your Christmas tree and wreath, remember our friends. The best. We got our tree there this past weekend. PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. The independent son grabbed it. It is beautiful. And it is in my home. You know what? I'll bring in a picture tomorrow. PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Just fantastic. Actually, I have a picture on my phone. Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. They are Rhode Island's number one garden center. And what an incredible selection they have. It's Steve. It's Debbie. It's Junior, it's Byron, it's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Now, they're located right next door to Allie's Tack Shop. They're right across the street from Allie's Donuts. Christmas trees, remember, it's always a Christmas tree at PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center where they say Merry Christmas. Christmas trees are 3 feet tall to 14 feet tall, Fraser, balsam, cut in live trees. Kissing balls, white pine roping, hanging pots, bunched greens for all your decorating needs. Decorative pots, 4-inch, 12-inch for your outdoor displays. You know what else they have? Customized homemade wreaths. If you can think of it, they can make it. And all decorations are handmade, high quality. You know, they're open until 7 o'clock, till Christmas time. So you could pop in on your way home from work and see them. All you need to do is pick your tree. They'll bale it, give it a fresh cut, boom, and tie it to your car, and away you go. PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. They are the best, folks. They are Rhode Island's number one garden center. You know, I think I did take a picture of it on my phone. We just got it over the weekend, so it's still stretching out. There it is. And so the lights are up. We haven't put up the decorations just yet. I'm holding it up to, isn't that beautiful? To the Facebook Live crowd. There it is. That beautiful tree is from PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Boy, what a beautiful aroma also. You know, a live tree, it just adds so much to your home. And the place to get it this Christmas season. You know, John the Baptist, even Christ himself, the manger, our Savior, he that I would put a thumbprint on saying, boy, that's the one that's really going to dominate this race.
Yeah, I don't know that there is such an issue. I think White House is going to try to make it all about President Trump. And honestly, I'm not sure that the Republicans should shy from that. I do see a path more for Flanders than for Nardolillo, just especially because Nardolillo has, to my taste, been tried to promote himself as more moderate than I would want to see running against the White House. And if you're just going to be a moderate Republican, I don't know how you can sell yourself in opposition as an unknown player. Whereas Flanders, Bob Flanders, he does have some name recognition. I mean, so if you look at the 2006 race when Lincoln Chafee narrowly lost to White House, Chafee had name recognition. Flanders is known somewhat as a moderate guy, but not quite as much as Chafee. Whereas if you look at White House versus Hinckley, you know, Hinckley got something 30-something percent of the vote, which is probably about the ceiling for just a no-name Republican running. I think if somebody with Flanders' name recognition were to articulate a sense of moderate Republican saying, you know, so to give people who are concerned about President Trump, especially Democrats or independents, to give them some sense of comfort, he could plausibly come forward and say, look, I'm not going to be a rubber stamp for the president, and he has some background in the state. People know him, and that might work. But also, if you look at what's interesting, if you look at the Trump plus Johnson votes, so that's President Trump and the Libertarian candidate Ron Johnson in 2016, that was 195,000 votes, which almost beats White House in 2006, that was 198,000. So if Flanders, not a little to some extent, but I don't know that he has the name recognition at this point, but if Flanders could assuage some of the people who might not like Sheldon Whitehouse and how kind of radical he's been in his time in office, and make them feel like he's a safe bet, Flanders, that is, not to just go along with everything President Trump wants, while still motivating the Trump-Johnson voters, and he could do that perhaps with some mixture of embracing some of the policies of the president, say immigration or trade or that sort of thing, while also pledging not to, he's going to protect the president from impeachment. That approach might get some of those, might motivate the latent Trump voters to go out and vote in the Senate race. That could be a formula that gets him over the top, I think.
Before I let you go, has either one of them said anything? Let's just focus on the primary. We spoke with Representative Nalulo on Friday. He's talking about somehow donating part of his salary to charity. I don't know. They may see that as something as an angle. I know they were trying to get some traction with a comment that Senator Whitehouse made about a horse of some kind, but that just didn't fall anywhere. But I just don't think they've struck gold yet. The two of them haven't really gone after each other, and maybe Flanders wants it that way. I mean, it is still a long way to go. It is going to be decided within the party. But I haven't, I think, you know, Nardolillo seems to be more aggressive, at least putting out statements, than Flanders has been. But that doesn't always, you know, the quantity versus quality, you know, doesn't always, you know, pull the trigger. But I agree with you. I think the name recognition for both is going to be an issue. And I just haven't seen what issue is going to be right now, as someone that the two of us that follow it, if someone said to me, what do you think the biggest difference between the two of them is? I don't know if either one of us could come up with an issue other than just, you know, Flanders has been a judge. He's very well respected. He's obviously more seasoned. He looks like a senator. If you put him on the stage, when Nardolillo certainly would be a little bit different, to put it mildly.
Right. Well, I think Nardolillo kind of has to put out the nonstop statements because he just has to find things that get his name out there. Whereas Flanders has more space to kind of assess the field and figure out where to go. Through the primary, I'm not sure that there's much they'll have to do. I mean, a lot of it's going to depend come summer of 2018, if the economy is going well, if people aren't as well, especially if the Mueller probe against the Russia collusion scandals, if that fizzles or even backfires on Democrats, then people who would otherwise support White House might just be tired of it and they don't want to be bothered. And then at that point, Flanders or Nardolillo could work on stoking the base, the Republican base and the Trump base. So right now it's probably the safe bet, unless, you know, White House comes out. You know, take your shot, certainly. If White House comes out and says something dumb or gets on the wrong side of an issue, then that's definitely worth jumping on. But I think they've got some space now. As far as going against each other, again, I would expect that Nardolillo feels like he has to be trying to chip away at Flanders, presumably as the leading candidate, whereas Flanders can kind of just move forward and not necessarily address Nardolillo until, you know, in debates or what have you, just to be as a full pro forma thing. But that's my sense of the lay of the land right now.
Folks, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Hey, Justin, great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again.
Likewise. Have a great week.
All right, folks, there he is. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Remember, you can call into the program 766-1380 on this Monday, December 11th. 766-1380 is the phone number. You can always email me. It's john@depietro.com, john@depietro.com. Remember, J.K.L. Engineering, the heating season without question. It's going to be cold this week. Let J.K.L. Engineering design and install a natural gas high efficiency carrier Infinity system. They're energy efficient. They're quiet. More affordable than you think. No gas. Guess what? No problem. Let J-Cal Engineering design and install a high-efficiency heat pump system, including ductless splits. Heats in the winter, cools in the summer. These units are so efficient, it can reduce your oil bill by as much as 90%. And they have the highest rebates on the market. They also do new installation and replacement of high-efficiency gas boilers. JKL, Carrier Factory, authorized dealer, licensed in Rhode Island and Massachusetts. You know, for 50 years, JKL's reputation, second to none, especially for technical expertise and customer satisfaction. JKL is an approved National Grid VPI installer. JKL is a Navient certified factory dealer. Call JKL for a system replacement from oil to gas for a heat pump. Estimates are free. Financing is available for both residential and commercial. Call JKL Engineering today at 351-7600. 351-7600. Listen, it's going to get cold. Make sure your heating system is working as efficiently as possible. Call JKL Engineering today. 351-7600. 351-7600. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. You can call in 766-1380. 766-1380. You know, I saw a story over the weekend when you talk about political correctness. At Tennessee State, did you hear about this? Whistling is now considered sexual harassment under university policy. Tennessee State University warns against whistling in a suggestive manner on the grounds it may constitute sexual harassment, a policy that helped it earn a red light rating from one of the nation's premier college watchdog group. The public university in Nashville currently holds a red light lighting. I mean, you go back to, I don't even know when that started, but I just think of as a kid growing up, you know, watching like the Three Stooges or something like that, and a woman would walk by, or even the Marx Brothers. I mean, I think it's, who knows? I don't know if they had that during, I haven't seen it on Game of Thrones. I don't know when that started, but I just think of like the Three Stooges or the Marx Brothers was the first time that you'd see someone, a woman walk by, especially the Stooges, and a man, you know, they'd whistle. And that was a way to say, you know, that she was good looking. It certainly has moved beyond that now to where, you know, some people can be very vocal, but at Tennessee State, so if a girl walks by on campus and a guy whistles, that will now be considered sexual harassment. 766-1380. You know what else I don't understand? Channel 10 had this story. So the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, they have a story saying that, and this is great news, that homelessness for veterans in Rhode Island is way down. And as a result, you know, as a result of it, it's well under 100, and it's all good news in Rhode Island, and Rhode Island's doing such a good job. The amount of unsheltered vets. Operation Stand Down says it's unrepresented, and they disagree with the homelessness report. Like, wait, what is this? Even when there's good news, they try to dispute that number. I don't understand where, you know, you're making progress in that arena. Why does everything have to be seen as a negative, for crying out loud? That seems like a very positive thing. That's not true. The number is much, much higher than that. Thank God that there are enough outlets where there are people that are involved and people are generous and people are doing what they can to help a lot of the homeless, let alone the veterans that are homeless. So I'm not sure why you would go after a report like that when it seems to be very good news. I get they then try to say, well, then people will stop giving and everything else. But that's really not the case. People are very, very generous. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Again, the big news of the day was there was some excitement this morning a pipe bomb strapped to a man exploded in the New York City subway, injuring four. He has now said that he is part of ISIS and swore his allegiance to ISIS. And so that is big news, obviously, on this Monday. And, you know, also, this can't happen fast enough. I don't know about you, but I'm looking at Channel 12. Final Benny's to close doors Monday. All right, enough already. You know, thank God. This has been dragging on since September, October. It's the end of an era. The stores are depressing. I used to go to the Benny's in, growing up, we used to go to the Benny's on Park Avenue. Then you had the Benny's in Washington Park. Then I've been to the Benny's in West Shore Road and the one over also in Warwick. But this nonstop reports of, do you ever remember anything like this of dragging out? This is the Channel 12 story. Last day for Benny's, final store. This is it.
Good morning. Well, Benny's was always one of those spots where if you forgot your gloves or your hat, like today I forgot my gloves, you could just run in here, grab a pair. It wasn't too expensive. But after 93 years, today is the last day that you'll be able to do that. Now, again, we told you about this first in September. That's when Benny's said it would be closing all of its locations.
You know, all due respects, the Benny's family, Arnold Bromberg, the owners of the family, It's tremendous. It'll always be part of Rhode Island nostalgia. But I believe the number that was reported was they sold the locations for $72 million to Capionato. So I don't know if we need to be crying about the Benny's store. And I think they were all retiring to Florida. So I get the nostalgia. And I got my first bike at Benny's and used to go there and get toys and run and get things, but I think this whole thing is like a little bit over the top with, this has been nonstop media coverage with the Benny's store. Now it's the last day, closing today. Enough already. My God, they are getting $72 million and moving to Florida. I don't know how many people are crying over the whole thing. Again, they had a good run. They had a certain business model. I don't blame them. $72 million, allegedly, on the table with Capionato. I think they're going to do just fine. No one should be lying awake at night worried about the owners of Benny's and how they're going to get by. I have a feeling that they're going to be just fine. They had a very nice, tremendous run in Rhode Island. There is an element of it sad, but let's not get crazy about this. Folks, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Remember, K&R Auto Salvage. Call them today. Karen and her family at 353-9200. K&R, large facility offering used car parts. K&R, they also buy junk cars, auto wrecks. Remember, you can depend on K&R Auto Salvage. Call them today, K&R. They offer 80% off retail prices. They have access to nationwide inventory. Call them for all major car or truck parts, and K&R will pay the highest price for your junk car. Call Guaranteed Quality. Call K&R Auto Salvage today at 353-9200. 353-9200. Now, they're located 950 Smithfield Road in North Providence. Go with the leader. Go with the best. It's K&R Auto Salvage. Call them for all your major car or truck parts. And remember, if you have a junk car, they will pay you the highest price for your junk car. K&R Auto Salvage, 353-9200, located 950 Smithfield Road in North Providence, right off of Mineral Spring Avenue. It's K&R Auto Salvage. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show.
Returning to Woonsocket's Elks Hall, December 16th, the Rhode Island Militaria Show. Items from antique to the present, like swords, helmets, canteens, field gear, collectibles, even from the Civil War. The public is invited to attend. $5 admission, kids under 12 free. Have Militaria you want to sell? Bring it in. It may be valuable. No modern firearms or ammunition, please. Buy, sell, or trade. Vendors are invited to display for just $20 a table. Limited tables available. So set aside that date, Saturday, December 16th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. For more information, dealers can contact Bob at 774-287-9009 or contact WNRI for information. History at your fingertips when you attend the Rhode Island Military Show coming December 16th, Elks Lodge, 380 Social Street, 10 to 4 p.m. and open to the general public. Presented by TBT Military Shows.
The season's best one-price sales event is going on now. And at Paul Massey, you buy happy every time with the confidence of the Paul Massey one-price guarantee. We have the best selection and the best service. Right now, buy happy with this exclusive one-price lease on a 2017 Buick Encore. Only $188 a month for 39 months with $888 due at signing. Buy happy at Paul Massey Chevrolet, Paul Massey Chevrolet South, or Paul Massey Buick GMC South.
Folks, remember, right now is the perfect time. Listen, upgrade your cell phone. Call our friend Sal or stop in and see him with Metro PCS and get the best unlimited deal. When's the last time? Have you ever upgraded your cell phone? Go with our friend Sal. He's the best service, most reliable, most knowledgeable. But stop into one of his five locations. It's Sal and Metro PCS, and you can get two lines, unlimited data for just $80. Two lines, unlimited LTE data, just $80. Plus, you'll get two free, awesome smartphones with 32 gigs of memory when you switch. And it's all on a reliable network. Now, I understand the importance of you want to save the proper information you have. Folks, stop in and see Sal, one of his great locations, 989 Manton Avenue in Providence. Now, that's right near the CVS. It's right behind Rhode Island College on Manton Avenue. 1852 Smith Street in North Providence. 1503 Atwood Avenue in Johnson, right next to Johnson Town Hall. Anthony's usually there, does a great job. 1553 Plainfield Pike in Johnson, right off of 295. And then Sal has his brand new location, 1027 Cranston Street in Cranston. It's our friend Sal with Metro PCS. Listen, he is the best. He is the most reliable. He is a joy to deal with. His service, his patient is first rate. Call Sal with Metro PCS. His five locations. 332-5051. 332-5051. Take advantage of this deal and see Sal with Metro PCS. Folks, good afternoon on this Monday. Juan, it's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. Here I am. Weekdays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Here I am on AM 1380, 95.1 FM, the northern part of the state. And it's the John DePietro Show. This portion of the program is brought to you by the Lodge Pub and Eatery. Stop in and see them for a great meal, good time. The Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Dave and Donna and Bob is the general manager. What a tremendous job they do. Full bar, large dining area. They'll have Monday Night Football with the Patriots on tonight. Whether it's lunch or dinner, a great meal is waiting for you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Folks, it's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Again, if you would like to remember, go to the Facebook page. It's John DePietro Show on Facebook. John DePietro Show on Facebook. Follow me on both Facebook and Twitter. Click the like button. Also, if you have a good sense of humor and you'd like a good laugh, go to my website, DePietro.com, no I's, DePietro.com. You can see I wrote a little "Twas the Night Before Christmas, Rhode Island 2017. I think you'll love that. With some great artwork, by the way, from our friend Henry B. Chafee. And remember, also, go to the website, WNRI.com. You can listen to some of the podcasts that we have, but also go to DePietro.com. You can also contact John. You can always email me. It's John at DePietro.com. John at DePietro.com. And like I said, visit the website. If you go to DePietro.com, is all the different links to my social media. Now, listen, coming up in the 2 o'clock news, they'll have the latest on this potential terror attack in New York City this morning. It's John DePietro. Enjoy this Monday. We're back tomorrow at 11. Stay tuned. The John Dion Show is next right here at AM 1380, 95.1 FM, and it's WNRI.